88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Complete your roofing project now and save big at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements. Owens Corning shingles are the number one brand trusted by contractors. Choose from over 40 options and get a limited lifetime warranty and up to 130 miles per hour wind warranty. Save big on Owens Corning shingles. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.
Usually, you'd call this the city that never sleeps. In my eyes, it does nothing but sleep on the rising criminal organizations, rolls over and turns a blind eye to the marshal and deputy's abuses of power, and it hits the snooze button on the blatant corporate corruption, bleeding into the downs from the skylines.
Stranger, what are you doing?
Me? Well, I'm just an independent investigator. Not the detective, chasing leads and uncovering truths like a metaphor that I'll think of in a minute. There's not a stone or a metal sheet I leave unturned. I'm a man of pure will, sheer ambition.
Okay, no. No, you are not.
I could be, though.
Sure, but why?
Pennies. And I'm also taking credit now, since UAU started cashing out 150% on the coin.
That's it.
Well,
the amount of soul craze cases are skyrocketing.
And what? Are we just gonna ignore these new guys?
The media is lying about it. Ensign is covering it up.
There's been a change.
There will be loyalty before money and mercy.
In SCT, everyone's a player, but only a few get to deal the cards.
Someone is playing at a very dangerous game.
I wonder if you're a detective, or just another piece of the puzzle waiting to be solved.
I've never seen a pair of hands that weren't stained red in this city.
Oh, we got ourselves a killer over here.
Money talks, but power whispers, so listen carefully, stranger.
You were so sure you knew everything. But where has that led you?
You wanna go again?
You cannot stop us.
What even are you?
You're still nothing but a lie. A fake. Sunken Star, Ensign, they will crush you.
Mayday,
what do
mayday.
You know?
We're going down!
Answer me!
Some answers get you killed.
I'll break every bone in your body.
In SAT, everyone has a story. Some are just better at hiding it.
Who are you? What?
A man called Stranger. Available everywhere.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Thank you all for tuning in once again. That trailer that you just heard at the beginning of the program was from my friends over at A Man Called Stranger. If you're a fan of audio dramas, and if you're here, I know you are, be sure to check out their high-quality episodes over at their podcast. And while you're there, give them a follow, a review, and a rate as well. And now for today's episode, we have a new detective to add to our collection. In the vein of Sam Spade and Nick Carter comes Inspector Thorne. A classic detective for sure, but one that has a little fun too. If you enjoyed this episode, please check out the archives for more detective stories. And be sure to follow, review, and rate the podcast as well. Also check out the descriptions for links for everything associated with the show. And with that, please enjoy Inspector Thorne.
And now, the National Broadcasting Company presents Inspector Thorne in The Fabulous Divorce Payoff Murder Case. Tonight, the National Broadcasting Company presents, for the first time on the air, the exploits of the spectacular young Inspector Thorne of the Homicide Bureau, whose investigations rank with many of the most celebrated ones in the annals of crime fiction. An investigator smart enough to claim he is dumb and modest enough to believe it. Tonight, Inspector Thorne turns to the fabulous divorce payoff murder case. Now we look in on the intimate drawing room of Pamela Beekman, heiress to one of the world's great fortunes. Young, beautiful, we see her with the highly publicized Lord Cyril Allerton, whom she is to marry in a few days, as soon as her divorce from her present husband is granted. And as she looks fondly at Cyril, we hear her say the words that lead to one of Inspector Thorne's most famous murder cases.
Silly boy, always asking me how much I love you. Well, I love you buckets and barrels for
it. Do you really mean it? Forever and ever and ever again, Pamela, darling.
I paid my husband, Harold, a cool million to get rid of him so I could have a divorce and marry you, Cyril.
A big bite he took out of you.
If I weren't utterly mad about you, I wouldn't have stood for it.
Tomorrow is the day your divorce from Harold will be granted, isn't it?
Yes, tomorrow. And Monday we'll be married, Cyril.
And off to England together. In a star-studded sky, Pamela, my angel.
Yes, darling, over the clouds in a star-studded sky. Cyril, as my wedding gift to you...
Wedding gift to me, Pamela? You're my wedding gift.
I've instructed my lawyers to make over a part of my fortune to you.
Oh, I say now, it's not your money, it's you I adore. How much did you say, dearest?
You'll know on our wedding day. Now kiss me, darling.
You're divine.
Ah. Nobody ever made me feel like this before, Cyril. Uncle Rufus.
Oh, my word.
Wait until I close the door.
Well, what's happened?
The husband that you're not quite divorced from is here.
What, Harold here?
Oh, that bounder.
You and Harold are birds of a feather, Cyril.
Uncle Rufus, what does Harold want?
Wants to see you. Something about the divorce.
Well, the lawyers warned me not to see him alone until after the decree. That might stop the whole thing.
I'll stay here with you, Pamela. And you, Cyril, scamper into the library.
Oh, right ho.
Now, Pamela... mind what you say to Harold. Come in, Harold.
Thanks. Hello, Pamela.
What do you want here, Harold?
We're still husband and wife, you know.
Not after tomorrow when our divorce comes through.
I've changed my mind about the divorce, Pamela.
I paid you $1 million to let me get it.
I want an extra million. You never miss it.
What?
Pamela's not made of money, Harold.
Stay out of this, Uncle Rufus. I'd hate to tell you what Pamela's made of.
What you need?
Shut up! Well... what about it, Pamela?
I'd like to kill you.
Sure you would. But isn't it worth another million to marry that dicky bird you're singing love songs with?
Keep Cyril Allerton's name out of this.
You and I both know the divorce we're getting is a cooked-up affair. All I've got to do is say a few words in court to blow it up. Let's not kill.
But I've already paid you off. I gave you $1 million.
Sure, I've already got it banked. Now I want another million to keep it company. Or no wedding bells. For you and Cyril. Make up your mind, Pamela.
I'll make it up for her, Harold.
Never mind, Uncle Rufus. Listen, Harold. Give me until tonight to think it over.
All right. I'll come back at 9. And get it into your head.
It's a hold-up, Harold.
It's a payoff, Pamela. A divorce payoff.
And shortly after 9 that night, we see Harold Beekman leaving Pamela's house once again. And as he proceeds jauntily down the street, we hear him say to himself,
one little million added to another little million makes... well, there's gold in them heels. What a terrific hunch I had. Say, what's this? Oh, no, no! You killed me.
And a few minutes later, in a stark and frightening office at the Homicide Bureau, its walls adorned only by pictures of killers he has sent on their way to justice, we see a young man who looks anything but what he is, the spectacular Inspector Thorne of Homicide. As the door opens, he looks up and says,
Oh, Sergeant Muggan, what's up?
Top draw murder.
Who? Where?
Harold Beekman, shot down 200 feet from his estranged wife's house.
More than estranged, Muggin. Her divorce decree was coming through tomorrow.
Funny thing, Inspector Thorne. She reported the murder herself.
The fantastically rich Pamela Beekman in a murder case. Hmm. Come on, Sergeant Muggin. We'll get out there. Stay here with the body, Sergeant Muggin. Go through his pockets. I'll go to the house.
I'll follow you in a minute, Inspector Thorne.
Okay.
You're Inspector Thorne, I suppose.
And you're Pamela Beekman?
Yes. Please come in. My husband had just left the house when we heard the shots.
I understand you and your husband were to get your final decree of divorce tomorrow. Why was he here tonight?
It was a sort of last farewell. I invited him to drop in and have a drink with my Uncle Rufus and me and Lord Cyril Allerton.
Cyril Allerton? I read somewhere you planned to marry him when your divorce was final.
Yes, Monday.
Let's get this straight. The husband you were divorcing, the man you were divorcing him to marry, and you were having a farewell drink together.
And my Uncle Rufus. The divorce didn't mean anything. We were all terribly good friends. Harold and I had a deep regard for each other as persons, but we couldn't make a go of it as husband and wife. That explains why he was here tonight.
It doesn't explain why he was murdered here tonight, however.
It was a dreadful shock to all of us, Inspector Thorne.
It's at least puzzling.
Yes, isn't it?
I'm puzzled at his being here on the eve of his divorce.
There's nothing so strange about that. I knew a girl who had her three divorced husbands at dinner with her present husband only last week.
And I know where there's divorce, there's usually hate, Pamela.
I had no reason to hate him.
You're booked to marry Cyril Allerton next Monday, aren't you?
You're not very bright, Inspector. When a girl is being divorced from her husband, she doesn't have to kill him to marry someone else.
There's many a slip between the cup and the lip.
What?
Your divorce was set for tomorrow, and tonight is tonight. What went on here?
Nothing, Inspector Thorne, except what I told you.
Come in, Muggin.
Have a look at what I got off the murdered man's body, Chief.
Give it here.
Who is this man?
Sergeant Muggin, Pamela. And he gave me this check.
Check?
It's for $1 million. It's made out to your about-to-be-divorced, but now murdered husband, and signed by you. What's the answer?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, it's the million I promised Harold for giving me a divorce. I promised to give it to him months ago when we first talked of the divorce.
You should have taken his check out of his pocket after you killed him.
I didn't kill him.
Murders have been committed for a lot less than $1 million.
Easy, Muggin. Let her try to explain.
Perhaps I can explain, Inspector Thorne.
Oh, Uncle Rufus.
Don't worry, Pamela. Inspector Thorne, I'm Rufus Spells, Pamela's uncle. When her father, my brother, died, he left her $10 million. She's been making a fool of herself ever since.
It looks like murder this time, Mr. Spells.
Step in here. I'll tell you exactly what happened.
I wonder what's delaying Cyril. Should have been here by now.
You always say the wrong thing at the right time, Pamela. Come in, Inspector Thorne.
Well, what did happen, Mr. Spells? Make it as brief as you can, please.
I'll tell you and let you draw your own conclusions, Inspector.
Yes.
Whenever a parasite crosses Pamela's path, she sets out to marry him. She was married to one in Harold Beekman. Things were going fine with him, blowing her money.
Yes.
Then came a bird of the same feather, that Englishman, Lord Cyril Allerton. Nothing would do but pay off Harold so she could marry him.
Cyril Allerton.
Pamela paid Harold a cold million to agree to a divorce. That was 6 months ago.
This check we found on her murdered husband is dated today.
That's what I'm leading to, Inspector Thorne. After pocketing $1 million 6 months ago, Harold came back at Pamela this very afternoon and demanded another million.
Another million?
Yes. On the threat that he'd stop their divorce tomorrow.
In other words, he'd already got $1 million from her and was playing for a second? What did Pamela say?
Well, the first started flying. And then Pamela, always unpredictable, quieted down and told Harold she'd think it over. To come back at 9 tonight.
You've presented a top murder motive for your niece, if nothing else.
Not so fast, Inspector Thorne. This Englishman that she wanted to marry, Cyril Allerton, he was in the house at the time this afternoon, in another room.
Allerton here? What did he do? Tell Pamela to pay off Harold so he could marry the rest of her millions next Monday?
Yes. Then Pamela knocked me off my feet by telling Cyril Allerton that she was going to flatly refuse to stand for the holdup.
What?
That was it. Said it might stop her marriage to Cyril altogether. And when that Kadger saw himself going on peanuts instead of caviar, he blew up. Darned if Pamela did tell him to come back at 9 tonight, too.
Did he get here?
No. Now Pamela's out there wondering why Cyril is delayed. Draw your own conclusions, Inspector Thorne.
The conclusion I'm drawing is that you're trying to protect your niece from a murder charge.
And the one I'm drawing is that you're not so smart as the papers crack you up to be, Inspector Thorne.
That's right. Fact is, I'm pretty dumb. Except when it comes to catching murderers. That's practically the only subject I know anything about.
Here. Here's Cyril Allison's address. Arrest him and you've got this case solved. I hope he hasn't jumped town. You better start moving. Feather in your cap, Thorne, if you can nab the killer in a big murder case an hour after the crime was committed.
I'll give this address of Allerton's back to you, Mr. Spells. I don't need it.
Don't need it? What do you mean?
Sergeant Muggan, quick.
Yes, Chief.
Hop across the hall and smash open that door where the knob's moving.
Gotcha.
The man Mr. Spells is sending me to find on a wild goose chase is in that room.
If Cyril Allerton is in that room, I didn't know he was.
You kept looking back at that door, Mr. Spells.
There's your daisy, Inspector Thorne. Come on, step fast, buddy.
You're Cyril Allerton.
Lord Cyril Allerton.
It's a thrill to meet the nobility, especially on a murder scene. What's the lowdown?
This old buffer gave me a dope drink when I got here a little after 9 to see Pamela. Then he locked me in that room, all doped up, while he slipped out and killed Harold Beekman. It's like one of those American gang cinemas I saw in London before I came to this country. He's trying to put the murder on me.
That's a lie. I didn't know he was here, Thorne. He must have murdered Harold and sneaked back into the house through one of the upper windows. It's a hot night.
I think it is.
Fandyways is trying to slip a fast one over on us, Chief.
How so, Muggan?
Here's the murder gun. I found it in the room he claims he was locked up in. Guns don't walk through locked doors.
You're a smart cop, Muggan.
I've never seen that pistol before. I tell you, I was doped by this old buffer.
I wonder why.
But don't you understand? It's to plant his crime on me. He's a clever old devil. Who'd expect his fiancé's uncle to dope him?
I don't think you are doped, your lordship.
What?
Sergeant Muggan, rush his lordship to the nearest hospital. Have his stomach pumped. Find out if he has been doped.
I say, old chap, I protest.
Come on, buddy.
In England, a policeman would be reprimanded for
You're
this.
In the United States of America.
Well, Inspector Thorne, I must say you're not so dumb as you said.
I may have pulled a boner there, Mr. Spells.
Boner? My boy, you've got the case clinched.
I remember that when your brother died and left $10 million to your niece, his entire fortune, that you went into the courts and claimed you had an oral agreement with him, that one-third was to go to you.
What's that got to do with the murder of the husband that my niece was divorcing to marry that Lonnie-Dar Lord Allerton?
You don't know the half of it. Maybe you're as clever as I'm stupid. Anyway, stay here. I want to see your niece, Pamela, again.
Wait a minute.
You wait here, Spell.
Inspector Thorne. Did my Uncle Rufus explain everything to you?
Yes, but sometimes I'm a little slow getting things through my head. You know, dumb.
Oh, now you're being very modest.
In my slow way, I'm trying to figure out how come this $1 million check was on the body of the husband you were planning to divorce tomorrow.
The explanation is so simple that if this didn't involve a murder, it might be laughable.
I've never seen anybody go to the chair laughing. But anyhow, let's hear the story.
When I promised Harold $1 million 6 months ago to give me a divorce so I could marry Cyril, I delayed giving the check to him until tonight, the night before the divorce.
What gives me a headache is that your uncle told me your husband was blackmailing you for a second million. And that's what the check was for.
I'm afraid I fibbed a bit to you, Inspector Thorne. The truth is, Harold did blackmail me for a second million. I was so utterly mad to marry Cyril Allerton, I gave Harold what he demanded. That explains it all, doesn't it?
It explains this much. You might have yielded to his blackmail, given him the check, and when he left, followed him out and murdered him.
No. No, that's not it at all.
Isn't it? You're a nice girl, Pamela. Pretty as a picture. I hate like the devil to start you on the road to the chair.
Inspector Thorne, this is the most agonizing moment of my life. I know who murdered my husband, but don't ask me to tell.
You must tell me. Otherwise,
Inspector Thorne in the fabulous divorce payoff murder case will return in just a moment. It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. We'd like to give you a brief program guide for your future listening pleasure on NBC. This Sunday, be sure to hear the best of the adventure programs, starting off with Tom Conway as the gentleman detective known as the Saint. Next, there's screen actor Lloyd Nolan in the hard-hitting role of Martin Kane, Private Eye. Then Carlton Young appears in the double role of Philip Galt and the Whisperer. As the Whisperer, he is able to enter the underworld and secure information desperately needed to solve the most puzzling cases. Later Sunday evening, there's action with ace Japanese-American detective Mr. Moto as he takes you on adventures designed to bring you plenty of suspense and intrigue. And here's a note about next week's program schedule. Dimension X is now broadcast on Thursday evening. Dimension X brings you stories dealing in time and space and brought to you in future tense. For the very best in dramatic radio entertainment, keep tuned to NBC. Now, back to Inspector Thorne and the fabulous divorce payoff murder case. Investigating the murder of Harold Beekman, Inspector Thorne finds he was killed shortly after demanding a second $1 million payoff from his very rich wife, Pamela, in order to let her divorce him to marry an Englishman, Lord Cyril Allerton. Suspects are the three who were near the murder scene. Pamela herself, her uncle Rufus, and Lord Cyril Allerton, who was found hiding in the house. Now, Inspector Thorne continues his questioning of Pamela, who is saying in a frightened, tense voice,
I know who murdered my husband, but don't ask me to tell.
You must tell me. Otherwise...
All right, I'll tell you. I think it was my uncle Rufus who killed Harold.
Take it easy, Pamela. I know how tough this is for you.
What makes it so hard is that Uncle Rufus tried to protect me. I'm practically accusing him of murder.
Why did he kill your husband, Harold?
He killed Harold because he didn't want to see $1 million more of my money get away. You see, when my father died, he left all his millions to me.
Go on.
With the provision that if I died, all my money would go to Uncle Rufus.
You're pretty good at supplying motives, aren't you? Or am I just dumb getting that idea?
I don't know what you mean, Inspector Thorne.
I mean you had the same motive as your uncle. $1 million is not hay anyway you figure it.
This is dreadful. I think you're accusing me.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
I wish I hadn't told you anything.
Oh, you, Sergeant Muggan. Back already?
I left his lordship, Cyril Allerton, at the hospital with the docs getting ready to pump his stomach out. You should have heard him squawk when they got out the tube.
Why didn't you wait to find out if he'd been doped?
Because when I was taking his lordship to the hospital, a dame followed me in a car and got the doorman to slip me a note.
What?
Sure. And the note said she saw the murder with her own eyes.
Sergeant Muggan, did she say my uncle did it? Oh, how terrible.
No, Pamela, what she said sort of let your uncle out.
If she said Lord Cyril did it, she's lying.
I'm not saying what the dame said.
Have you got that woman here, Muggan?
No, Chief. I got a cop sitting on her at the hospital waiting for her.
Okay, Muggan. That should kill two birds with one stone.
Sure. You can pump the dame while the docs are analyzing what they pumped out of his lordship's belly. Excuse me, I mean stomach.
Let's go. Leave a couple of cops outside this house to see Pamela or her uncle don't make a break.
You don't have to leave any of your cops outside, Thorne, to watch me.
No, Mr. Spells.
Old as I am, I've got good ears. I overheard Pamela accusing me of killing her husband, Harold. All that's left for me now is to tell you that Pamela killed him herself. I lied to keep her out of the law's hands when I said that Cyril Allerton did the job.
I'm not so dumb, Spells, that I don't know two lies won't add up to the truth. Stay here till I get back. Try to figure out a story between you while I'm gone. Bye.
This hospital looks more like a classy hotel than a hospital, Chief.
Is that the woman over there, Sergeant Muggan?
Yeah, the one next to the cop.
Bring her into this room, Muggan.
Miss Jones, come over here.
Oh, yes, Sergeant Muggan.
I suppose the gentleman with you is Inspector Thorne?
That's right, Miss Jones. I'm Inspector Thorne.
Oh, for your information, Inspector Thorne, my full name is Heather Jones.
Pretty name, Heather Jones. Sounds nice.
I like it, too. It was my mother's idea.
Sounds like Scotland to me. Or is it Ireland where Heather grows?
I really don't know.
I understand from Sergeant Muggan that you saw the about-to-be-divorced husband of Pamela Beekman murder tonight.
Yes, Harold Beekman. It was the most extraordinary thing.
I'm a little slow on the uptake, so I don't catch on to just what you mean, Heather.
Well, I mean, I just happened to be walking on the other side of the street from the Beekman mansion when I saw Harold Beekman walking along a bit on the jaunty side.
I see.
Then I saw Lord Cyril Allerton sneak out of the house, run behind Mr. Beekman and shoot him down. Oh, it was a horrible experience for me. I don't think I'll ever get over it.
Don't get me wrong, Heather, but a cop has to ask questions.
I understand.
A lucky break. You knew the murdered man and Lord Cyril well enough to identify
them. But I'm not acquainted with either of them. I don't know them personally. Only from seeing their pictures in the papers.
A gal like you with such a terrific gift for identification ought to be a lady cop.
You're trying to make a fool of me. Ain't after me tipping you off to who killed the poor gentleman.
What part of America were you born in?
What? Right here in New York.
Sergeant Muggan, frisk this woman.
Gotcha, Chief.
Let go of me.
This woman isn't what she claims to be.
Oh.
She's from the British Isles. I'd say she's connected with Cyril Allerton.
Yes, an English Wembley gun on it, Chief. But not a single shot fired.
It's not my gun, it's my husband.
Who is your husband? Where is he?
I won't tell you.
Where is your husband?
I won't tell you. You can't make me.
Sergeant Muggan, send this woman in. Hold her for further questioning.
Come on, Heather.
Don't think me any more than I.
That's what you think.
Excuse me, I must ask you to remember this is a hospital and sick people are being disturbed.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm Inspector Thorne of Homicide. I see you're a doctor.
Yes. Yes, I'm Dr. Conway. And I have a report for you on the contents of that Englishman's stomach.
Was he doped, or was he kidding?
Both, Inspector Thorne, both.
Both?
His stomach contents reveal, let's say, 1/8 grain of a barbituric sleeping pill. Not enough to make him as dopey as he simulated.
That confirms what I suspected, Doctor.
The highly suspicious part, however, is that we found this box of sleeping pills in his pocket, indicating he doped himself. To me, it looks like a rather stupid criminal's effort to deceive the police.
All criminals are stupid, Doctor. That's why they're criminals. Where have you got Lord Allerton?
In the next room. Follow me, Inspector Thorne. Here he is, Inspector. I must leave you now.
This is the most outrageous treatment I've ever experienced, Inspector. It couldn't happen in England. I wonder why I ever left there.
Maybe the English cops chased you out, your lordship. Tough break, old man. But I've got a witness.
A witness?
Yes, a woman. Says she saw you murder Harold Beekman, husband of the $10 million heiress Pamela you were inveigling into marrying you.
$10 million is a packet. But I didn't murder her husband. Why should I? They were being divorced tomorrow. She paid him $1 million to get rid of
him. Stop kidding. You know he threatened Pamela this afternoon to stop the divorce unless she gave him a second million.
Well, does that make me a murderer?
And you told her to give it to him, didn't you?
Yes, but she refused. So what could I do?
Ever hear of a thing called murder?
Everything is tied up, Inspector Thorne. That dame Heather is on her way to the Hoosegow.
Heather Jones? Heather Jones, you say?
You guessed right the first time. Sergeant Muggan.
Yes, Chief.
Take this character back to the murder house. Hold him there with Pamela Beekman and her Uncle Rufus Spells all night. We've got 4 first-rate murder suspects in the net. I'll see you there early tomorrow morning, and we'll leave together with the murderer.
For a cop who's always saying he's dumb, you're doing all right, Chief.
It looks that way, Muggan. Let's start moving.
Now it is 10 o'clock the next morning, and we see an obviously pleased Inspector Thorne at the murder house, the home of one of the richest girls in the world, Pamela Beekman. And we hear him say,
"Well, Sergeant Muggan, I understand you've got our net of suspects in the house."
"Sure, Chief. Here are Pamela Beekman, a love interest, Lord Cyril Allerton, her uncle, Mr. Spells, and of course..."
"12.
Which one do we pinch?"
"Pinch my niece, Pamela. She murdered her husband, Harold. Reason? She didn't want to pay him an extra million for giving her a divorce so she could marry this panty waste, Lord Allerton."
"To think my father could have had a brother like you, Uncle Rufus. I was heartbroken when I told Inspector Thorne I thought you had killed Harold. No, I'm not sorry I did.
Good girl, Pamela. Monday we'll be married and off in a star-studded sky on our honeymoon.
And I, Lady Allerton. I only hope, darling, we'll both forget my own uncle tried to have me arrested for Harold's murder.
Oh, when we're married, Pamela, my sweet, you'll write it off as an unfortunate incident and forget it.
I hate to break up a $10 million romance, Allerton, but I'm afraid Pamela can't marry you. There's a complication.
Complication?
Heather Jones, come in.
Yes, Inspector Thorne.
Heather, you here? You?
Shut up, Allerton. This woman, Heather Jones, is your wife.
She's lied to you. She's not.
Here's the marriage certificate that proves she is.
Yes, Cyril. Husband and wife, that's what we are. You and I were butler and parlor maid at a real lord's house in London. Husband and wife we were, and husband and wife we are.
Pamela, let me explain.
So you're not a lord, but an imposter, Cyril. And I paid out $2 million for a divorce to marry you. I hope I never set eyes on you again.
You won't have the chance to see him again, Pamela.
What?
You'll be in jail, charged with murder. You killed your about-to-be-divorced husband, and you know you did.
Yes! Yes, I killed him. I killed him because after I'd given him $1 million as a divorce payoff, he came back and blackmailed me for another $1 million. And I did it so I could marry this creature, this servant posing as Lord Cyril Allerton. I thought I had it worked out so well.
You worked it out too well.
Too well?
The slip you made was in giving him the second check for the police to find on his body. You thought it would be evidence that the uncle you so cleverly accused had murdered him. To me, it was a clue that led straight to you.
You tricked me, Inspector Thorne. I fell for your talk about being slow-thinking and dumb.
Cops will try tricks, Pamela. They find it pays. Come with Sergeant Muggan and me. All your money won't save you. Murder is murder. And the price is execution.
And so ends the fabulous divorce payoff murder case. The part of Inspector Thorne is played by Carl Weber. Direction by Kenneth McGregor. The script was written by Eugene Edward Francis from the original story by Frank Hummert. This is Fred Collins inviting you to tune in again next Friday at the same time when the National Broadcasting Company will present Inspector Thorne in The Vacant Lot Murder Case. It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. NBC presents a new comedy team consisting of Bob and Ray, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding, a merry duo who specializes in light satire and nonsense sketches. Bob and Ray have more changes of voice than a 13-year-old boy with the hiccups. The lads have been bringing fun to the New England area for quite some time. Now they've been called in by NBC to spread their hilarity around on a coast-to-coast basis. Hear Bob and Ray every weekday afternoon and for a solid hour of laughs every Saturday on your NBC station. Stay tuned now for Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons on NBC.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
And now, the National Broadcasting Company presents Inspector Thorne in The Vacant Lot Murder Case. Tonight, the National Broadcasting Company presents the exploits of the spectacular young Inspector Thorne of the Homicide Bureau, whose investigations rank with many of the most celebrated ones in the annals of crime fiction. An investigator smart enough to claim he is dumb and modest enough to believe it. Tonight, Inspector Thorne turns to the Vacant Lot Murder Case. As tonight's Inspector Thorne murder case opens, picture, if you can, a vacant lot
late on a summer evening. A street lamp casting a feeble light on a large for sale sign near the pavement. A man stops in a puzzled way and says to himself,
"This is a funny thing. He said to come to number 1220. Must have made a mistake. This is a vacant lot."
"You looking for somebody, sir?"
"Yes, for number 1220. But I don't see any."
"Well, there's no 1220 on this block, mister. I live just across the street. I know there ain't. I guess you got the wrong address."
"Yes, it looks that way, son. Thank you anyway."
"That's okay. Good night."
"I wonder if this is a trap. Just what I thought. You lured me here to murder me. Help! Police!"
"You killed me. What a fool I was. Come here."
And 5 minutes later, the police are on the scene in the person of the spectacular Inspector Thorne with his right-hand man, Sergeant Muggin. And as he bends over the murdered man, we hear him say,
"Sergeant Muggin, keep that crowd back.
Come on, move on, you hear me? Get going, all of you."
"Find anything on the body, Chief?"
"Nothing but a bunch of keys and some money in his pockets, Muggin."
"His face rings a bell with me, but I go blank when I think of name."
"Wait a second, Muggin. Here's a tailor's label in his coat pocket with his name and address."
"Huh?"
"It says Arthur Hayward, 470 Maple Street."
"Rings no bells here, Inspector Thorne."
"Look, Muggin, there's a girl making for the alley across that vacant lot. Stop her, quick."
"Hey, you! Stop where you are or I'll shoot."
"We're the police. Come back here. We don't want to shoot a woman."
"I'm coming. I don't know anything about this. What do you want?"
"I'm Inspector Thorne. This is Sergeant Muggin. What's your name? What's your hurry getting off a murder scene?"
"My name's Della Laverne, and I don't know anything about a murder."
"Listen, Della, lying to Inspector Thorne won't get you anywhere."
"I'm not lying."
"Why were you running across this vacant lot?"
"It's a shortcut home."
"Where do you live?"
"West 23rd Street."
"That's 40 blocks from here, so the shortcut story don't go. Come over here. Look at this murdered man. You recognize him?"
"He's a complete stranger to me, Inspector Thorne."
"How is it you're not carrying a handbag, Della?"
"Handbag?"
"Sergeant Muggin, look behind that big for sale sign in the vacant lot. I've got a hunch that's where she was hiding. Maybe she dropped her handbag with a murder gun in it there."
"Okay, Chief."
"Inspector Thorne, I'll tell you the truth. I do know the murdered man. His name is Arthur Hayward."
"Arthur Hayward? Why didn't you admit you knew him in the first place?"
"Because I didn't want to get him into trouble with his wife. That's why, Inspector Thorne."
"Dead men can't get it into trouble with their wives."
"Well, I didn't think of that.
I'm a little dumb myself, but I did."
"Your hunch was 100% right, Chief. Here's the dame's handbag. Found it behind a for sale sign. No gun in it, though."
"The murder was committed 5 minutes before we got here, Muggin. That gave her time to get rid of it."
"I'll have the boys give this vacant lot the fine tooth comb treatment, Chief."
"Right, Sergeant Muggin. Well, Della, just to save time, suppose you tell us why you murdered this man."
"You won't find any gun of mine here, Inspector Thorne. I didn't kill Mr. Hayward."
"No?"
"I was here because Mr. Hayward telephoned and asked me to meet him here tonight in front of this vacant lot."
"Phoned you?"
"Yes, because I didn't want to be seen on account of his wife. I waited behind that for sale sign."
"A dark night, a vacant lot, a lady hidden behind a real estate sign. Fine setting for a murder."
"But while I was still behind the sign, I saw Mr. Hayward coming. I heard him muttering to himself."
"I'll finish that line for you, Della. You saw somebody come along and shoot him. That it?"
"Believe it or not, that's exactly what happened, Inspector Thorne."
"I've heard that kind of story before. It's got whiskers, Della. By way of advice from a dumb cop to a smart girl, try another."
"Hey, are you gents the cops?"
"Come on, move along, kid. Chase yourself."
"I got something to tell you."
"What's on your mind, son? I'm Inspector Thorne."
"Inspector Thorne, the big shot from Homicide?"
"That's who he is, bud."
"Who's that little brat? Get him out of here, Inspector."
"That's all from you, Della. All right, son. Go ahead. What's your name?"
"My name is Jimmy Kildare, and I live in that house across the street."
"Did you see this man shot down, Jimmy?"
"No, sir. But I talked to the gentleman before he was killed."
"Talked to him?"
"The gentleman was all mixed up. He said he was looking for number 1220 on this block."
"1220?"
"I told him there wasn't no 1220. That'd be this vacant lot. So I told him he must have the wrong address."
"What then, Jimmy?"
"That was all, Inspector Thorne. I kept moving on. Mom had sent me to the delicatessen for some things, and when I got back, she told me about the gent being murdered."
"Did you see this girl hiding behind the for sale sign there?"
"No, sir. I didn't look that way. Say, did she kill him?"
"I didn't kill anybody.
That's all, Jimmy. And thank you.
I may see you again.
If you want me, I live in number 1223 across the street. Bye, sir.
Inspector Thorne.
Yes, Della?
I forgot to tell you about Mr. Hayward talking to that boy. Why do you think Mr. Hayward asked him where to find number 1220? He knew this was a vacant lot. I don't get it.
You should. If...
If what?
If you told the murdered man to meet you at a phony address and waited there to murder him.
What?
Sergeant Muggin.
With you, Chief.
I think that's the ambulance coming now to pick up the body.
Yeah. What about this dame?
Tell the boys to take her down to my office and hold her. And keep a sharp eye on her, Muggin.
You're telling me, Chief.
After she's safely tucked away, meet me at the murdered man's house. I'm on my way there to break the news to his wife. Here's the address. Mrs. Arthur Hayward is the poor woman's name.
Be seeing you there, Chief.
Yes?
Is Mrs. Hayward at home?
I'm Mrs. Hayward. I suppose you want to see my husband?
My name is Thorne. Inspector Thorne of the police.
The police? Oh, come in.
I'm afraid you must brace yourself for very bad news, Mrs. Hayward.
Bad news, Inspector Thorne? What?
That's your living room, isn't it?
Oh, yes, but why?
I suggest we go in there.
Oh, surely.
Sit down in this chair. What I have to tell you is quite terrible.
Terrible? Tell me what you mean, please.
It's about your husband, Mrs. Hayward.
My husband?
Your husband was murdered about a half hour ago.
What?
The killer stepped out from a vacant lot in the dark and shot him.
My husband murdered.
Easy. You're becoming hysterical.
No, I'm not hysterical.
Easy now.
My husband wasn't murdered, Inspector Thorne. He and I were just having a snack in the pantry.
What?
Yes, I'll call him. Arthur, dear.
Coming, Ethel.
Arthur, this is Inspector Thorne from the police.
From the police.
He came to report that you had been murdered.
Is that correct, Inspector Thorne?
There must be some mistake, Mr. Hayward.
For a murdered man, I'm very much alive.
Oh, if you hadn't been here at home, Arthur, I'd have fainted when Inspector Thorne told me.
A woman we caught running away from the murder scene positively identified the body as yours, Mr. Hayward.
This is utterly fantastic.
I've never heard anything like it.
To top the thing off, we found this tailor's label in the murdered man's coat.
It's my tailor, all right. And my name and address. This is the darndest thing I ever saw.
Did you miss any of your clothes recently, or give them away, Mr. Hayward?
Now, let me think.
Arthur, remember? You gave that blue serge suit you didn't like to your brother, John.
That's right, I did. Last weekend at our little place in the country. Inspector Thorne, do you think it was my brother who was murdered?
There's a certain resemblance, Mr. Hayward. It may be.
Oh, this is dreadful.
Now, don't jump at conclusions until you see the body. It may not be your brother at all.
But it must be. This label comes from the suit I gave him.
Perhaps he didn't like the suit any better than you did, Arthur, and gave it away to somebody.
Oh, I imagine that's Sergeant Muggin who works with me. I'll let him in. I thought it was you, Muggin. Come in here. I want you to meet somebody.
Huh?
Sergeant Muggin? Meet Mr. Arthur Hayward.
Listen, Chief, I'm in no frame of mind to stand any kidding right now.
Inspector Thorne isn't kidding you, Sergeant Muggin. I am Arthur Hayward, and this is my wife.
Inspector Thorne thinks some mistake has been made, Sergeant.
If it has, it's not the first one that was made tonight, ma'am. I might as well spill it now as later, Chief.
What's that, Muggin?
I let that dame we nabbed at the murder scene get away from me.
You mean you let Della Laverne give you the slip?
Call me all the names you want, Chief. The dame gave me a smooth story about seeing a guy doing the killing.
I see.
Said she saw Way toss the murdered gun away. Started leading me to the spot and made a clean break. I sent out a general alarm for her. I'm betting we'll never see her again.
Yeah, don't let her get you down, Muggin. It's a bad break, but those things happen.
I should have caught on a dame with a name like Della Laverne was a smoothie. And that's a real name, all right. I got this calling card of hers out of her handbag.
Inspector Thorne. If the woman who identified the murdered man as my husband, Arthur, was really Della Laverne, she must have been insane.
You know this woman then, Mrs. Hayward?
I know who she is, and so does my husband.
Ethel, please don't bring this out.
This is a murder investigation, Mr. Hayward.
Arthur, let's forget family skeletons and such things. Tell Inspector Thorne who Della Laverne is, and her shameful connection with your brother, John. You must tell him, dear.
I hope we'd never hear of it again, Ethel. But you're right. We must tell. Here's the whole dirty story, Inspector Thorne.
Yes?
Well, my brother John had a bad criminal record.
Criminal record?
Out on the West Coast where we used to live. John was cashier at a big bank out there and made off with nearly a half million in bearer bonds.
Was he caught?
Yes, he got 10 years for it and served nearly the full term.
Where does Della Laverne come into the picture?
I'll answer that, Inspector Thorne. Della Laverne, the woman Sergeant Muggins says escaped from the murder scene, went to prison for the same crime.
You mean she was an accomplice of your husband's brother, Mrs. Hayward?
Yes. And she was sentenced for 5 years. And when she was released, she swore she'd kill John the day he was set free. She thought he had informed the police of her part in the crime.
If she went up for 5 years and your husband's brother for 10, she had nearly 5 years to plan his murder.
Yes.
But we're not certain yet that the man murdered tonight is your husband's brother. Mr. Hayward, you say you gave him a blue serge suit last weekend in the country.
I was surprised to see him there, Inspector Thorne. I hadn't seen him since he went to prison.
A bad penny always turns up.
When he showed up at our little place in the country, he said he was in a bad way, so I gave him that suit and some money. Even though he was my brother, I wanted to be rid of him so he wouldn't disgrace my wife Ethel and me any further.
I understand. I do the same thing myself in similar circumstances.
He said he was flat broke and destitute. I was so upset seeing him. It never occurred to me to ask what he did with a $500,000 he stole.
That's just what I was thinking, Inspector Thorne. Maybe that woman, Della Laverne, has the money.
How could she have it, Ethel? Have you forgotten what happened when she got out of prison 5 years ago?
I remember she came here and tried to blackmail you for a lot of money.
What's that?
She tried to get $10,000 from Arthur, under threat of making it public that the notorious criminal John Hayward was Arthur's brother.
What did you say to that, Mr. Hayward?
I recalled the old saying, never to give a blackmailer the first dollar, and threatened to have her arrested. Well, in any event, it proves that she didn't get away with a $500,000 she and John stole.
Without talking out of turn, Chief.
Yes, Sergeant Muggins.
I'm getting the idea Mr. Hayward's brother was bumped by the dame for that wad of loot.
We're not sure the murdered man is Mr. Hayward's brother.
Well, would it help if my wife and I went with you to identify the body, Inspector Thorne?
The body is at the morgue, still in the medical examiner's hands now, but, say, in half an hour, I could send a car for you.
We'll be ready, Inspector Thorne.
But, Arthur, to that horrible place, the morgue.
It's the only way to find out, dear.
Oh, I suppose so.
Sergeant Muggins and I will meet you there. Goodbye till then.
Somebody should bat me one for letting that Laverne dame slip out of my hands.
Forget it, Muggins. When we get to the car, radio the Department of Criminal Records.
What about, Chief?
Tell them to get the full file and photographs of Della Laverne and John Hayward up to my office, quick.
Gotcha, Inspector Thorne.
And a few moments later, as Inspector Thorne is scanning the criminal records of John Hayward and Della Laverne in his office at the Homicide Bureau, we see Della herself excitedly knocking on the door in a notorious criminal hangout in New York's Lower East Side.
Yes, Macy! Open the door. It's me, Della. Hurry.
Have you got the brains of an idiot coming here?
I got brains enough to trick Inspector Thorne and the stupid cop with him, Sergeant Muggins.
Get out of here, you fool. We'll both be pinched. Get out.
I am not getting out, Slash. Don't think I'll take the rap for the murder of Hayward alone. I'll throw you to the police.
Now, how could I put the rap for Hayward's murder on you? I didn't even know the man you call Hayward was murdered.
You lie through your teeth. Inspector Thorne nabbed me on the scene and you tipped them off. But I made idiots of them. I made a getaway.
You... You make idiots of Thorne and Muggins? You're the idiot. I told you that phone call to meet Hayward at that vacant lot was phony. But no, you turned a deaf ear to me.
You had that call put through to me yourself, Slash Macy. You planted me there so you could kill him and frame me.
Listen, Della, don't try any tricks on me. It's unhealthy.
You asked for it, Slash, and now you'll get it.
Give me that gun and do it gentle and careful.
Oh.
I got you covered. Give it to me before I blow a couple of slugs in you.
Oh, no, no. No, I'll give you the gun. Here, I'll drop it on the floor.
Now let's talk sense. You think I believe you made a getaway from Inspector Thorne?
It was Muggins that I tricked.
You're tricking yourself, Della.
I got away from them both.
Listen, Della. Did he get your name?
Yeah, I had a card in my bag. Besides, my name slipped out in the excitement. They had me caught.
Okay. You got one chance left, Della. One last chance.
How? What last chance?
Run back to Thorne at the Homicide Bureau.
Turn myself in.
I've got you off hot spots before.
What if you have?
I'm telling you for the last time, Della. Rush as fast as your legs will carry to Inspector Thorne. Put on the act. Tell him you were scared and made the terrible mistake of running away.
Oh, it sounds crazy.
It's your only chance, Della. Your only chance.
Oh, all right, I'll go. But if you're tricking me,
every second counts. Go.
Inspector Thorne in The Vacant Lot Murder Case will return in just a moment. But first, It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. We'd like to take a minute to give you some program notes concerning the shows we've prepared for your radio entertainment. First of all, a new comedy team has joined NBC. They're Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding, and they bring you light satire and nonsense sketches designed to display their many-voiced talents. Bob and Ray come to you Monday through Friday afternoon, and for one fun-filled hour on Saturday evening. Then on Sunday, hear the further adventures of The Saint as played by Tom Conway, and hard-hitting action with screen actor Lloyd Nolan as Martin Kane, Private Eye. Sunday, too, actor Carlton Young brings you the double role of Philip Galt and The Whisperer. And later Sunday evening, Mr. Moto, Mr. I.A. Moto, ace Japanese-American security agent, bids you join him as he puts on the black cloak of mystery and enters the realm of international intrigue. Be sure to hear Dimension X on NBC every Thursday evening. Stories dealing in time and space, and brought to you in future tense. Yes, morning, noon, and night for the very best in radio entertainment. Keep your dial set at this, your NBC station. Now, back to Inspector Thorne and the Vacant Lot murder case. And now, a few minutes after the scene we just heard between Della Laverne and Slash Macy, evidently her accomplice, we see Inspector Thorne at the morgue beside the murdered man's body, and we hear him say to Arthur Hayward,
"So you positively identify this body, Mr. Hayward?"
"Yes, Inspector Thorne. It is my brother John. What a fearful end he came to."
"Perhaps he's just as well off, Arthur. A life of crime, years in prison, a marked man, all this."
"Maybe so, Ethel. But to me, the brother I was brought up with..."
"Try not to think about it, Mr. Hayward. The identification of your brother's body is a great help to me. It's easy to see your brother's pronounced family resemblance."
"Yes. People used to say that if my hair weren't so black and poor John was so blonde, well... But anyway..."
"What do you know, Inspector Thorne?"
"Know what, Sergeant Muggan?"
"With 1,000 cops looking for that dame, Della Laverne, and get nowhere. What does she do but walk in here and ask for you?"
"Della Laverne here?"
"That's it, Chief. I got her waiting outside."
"I wonder what her game is. Mr. Hayward, would it inconvenience you and your wife to stay in the reception room until I've talked to Della Laverne?"
"We'll be glad to stay, won't we, Ethel?"
"If only to satisfy my woman's curiosity. Yes, Inspector Thorne."
"I'll tell you what she says, Mrs. Hayward. I'll not keep you waiting too long." "Well, Della, I wish I was smart enough to know what your game is coming here."
"You're a very clever man, Inspector Thorne. A very smart man."
"Thanks for the compliment, Della. But believe me, far from being smart, I'm blind on all fronts, except on catching murderers. What's your game coming here?"
"Please, Inspector Thorne, there's no game, no trick. I suddenly realized how silly I was to make a getaway from your Sergeant Muggan. It was only because I was so frightened. You must admit you practically accused me of murder on that vacant lot."
"I have the murdered man's criminal record on this desk. And I have yours. Why did you meet him at that vacant lot? If you didn't murder him, who did? Why did you lie and say his name was Arthur Hayward when you knew very well it was his brother, John Hayward?"
"I'm not hiding that I was a crook or that I was in prison. But I went to meet Arthur Hayward on a phony telephone call."
"Phony telephone call? Who made the phony call? Answer me and don't lie. You're as near the chair as you can get without being in it."
"That phone call was phony. I fell for it because I thought I could get some money out of Arthur Hayward for not singing his brother John was a crook. And I'm telling you again, the man I said was Arthur Hayward was Arthur Hayward."
"You've certainly got a yen to fry, Della. Lies on top of lies."
"I was sent to that murder scene on a frame. And I'll tell you who framed me."
"All right, tell me."
"I'm working with a guy named Slash Macy. He put me on the hot spot to save his own hide. He's your killer, not me, Inspector Thorne."
"Okay. I'll list you as innocent."
"Thanks. Thanks for believing me."
"Innocent until proved guilty. Sergeant Muggan."
"Here I am, Chief."
"Let this girl out. But put two men to trail her and check every move she makes."
"You dirty cop. What else could I expect?"
"Show her out, Sergeant Muggan. And watch your step this time."
"You're telling me, Chief?
Come along, Della.
Take her out through the reception room. I want Arthur Hayward and his wife to get a good look at her.
Okay, Chief.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Hayward, was that woman Sergeant Muggin led through here, the one you know as Della Laverne?
It's the woman who tried to blackmail my husband. No question.
She's the one, Inspector Thorne.
Now, tell me something about that little place of yours in the country, Mr. Hayward. Do you own it or rent it?
I own it now, but my brother John owned it originally.
What did you do, buy it from him?
Yes. John told me he wanted the money to pay lawyer's fees before he went on trial for the $500,000 robbery he was accused of. He said he was not guilty of any wrongdoing. He was my brother. I believed him.
The records here show he was guilty. I asked about the cottage because of the $500,000 he stole. It was never found.
What? Never recovered?
No. I've got an idea. His coming to the cottage and asking you for a suit and some money was a ruse. Chances are his real object was to find the place empty and get the loot he may have hidden there.
I don't see where he could have hidden it. But it might be a good thing for you to make a thorough search of the cottage and grounds, Inspector Thorne.
I'll send a searching squad there at once, Mr. Hayward.
Oh, here's a road map to help them find it. The place is off the beaten track.
Fine, thanks a lot. And I'll not need you any longer, Mr. and Mrs. Hayward. Good night. The same car that brought you is outside, ready to take you back.
That's very thoughtful of you, Inspector Thorne. Well, let's get started, Ethel.
Yes, I'm ready for bed. Good night, Inspector Thorne.
I saw Mr. and Mrs. Hayward leaving, Chief. What do we do now?
Go out to the Hayward weekend place in the country.
To search for the 500 grand the murdered man might have stashed there?
I don't think we'll find that there, Muggin.
No?
No, but I do think we'll find something highly interesting to Della Laverne, the woman we nabbed on the murder scene.
Della Laverne?
And also to her present accomplice in crime, Slash Macy.
Slash Macy? Is he in on it too, Chief?
We'll see. Anyway, Muggin, I'm about to close this case.
But is Inspector Thorne about to close the case as he said? For it is now the following morning, and we see him and Sergeant Muggin back in Inspector Thorne's office in the Homicide Bureau, and we hear Sergeant Muggin say,
"Well, Chief, it looks like we wasted a night searching the Haywards' weekend cottage. What did we find? Nothing.
I found this bottle, Muggin. It's the clue that will break this case."
Huh? Hello, Sergeant Muggin talking. What? Okay, I'll tell the chief. Chief, grab your hat. The boys have trailed Della Laverne out to Mr. and Mrs. Hayward.
That's what I was looking for, Muggin. Quick, we've got to get there fast.
And now, at the Haywards' house, we hear this.
Della Laverne, what are you doing here? Who's this man with you?
You know what we're after, Hayward.
500 grand, Hayward. Don't stall if you don't want to be plugged.
Arthur, he'll kill you.
You got the idea, lady. 500 grand, or he meets the angel.
I haven't got it. You're mad. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm giving you 10 seconds, Hayward. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Stop. I haven't got it.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
What? Don't move, Slash, and I shoot to kill.
Muggin,
get that gun away from him. Don't move, Slash.
Thanks, Slash. Not so tough as you act, huh?
Handcuff him and Della Laverne together, Muggin.
You don't understand, Inspector Thorne. Slash and I were just making a social call on Mr. and Mrs. Hayward.
With a gun in your hand and murder in your heart.
You're dumb, Thorne.
Hurry, Muggin, with the cuffs.
Right. All set, Chief. Got him.
I didn't murder Hayward's brother, Inspector. Slash put him on the spot.
Shut your trap, or
I'm doing the talking, Slash.
This guy Hayward's got 500 grand that belongs to Della and me.
Inspector Thorne, these people came to murder me for something I haven't got. How could I have the money my brother John stole and went to prison for?
I know how. It's because you, Arthur Hayward, are not Arthur Hayward. You're actually the ex-convict John Hayward. You murdered your brother, Arthur.
Ethel, give me that Tommy gun.
Kill them all, John. Mow them down.
Ask for it, Ethel.
It's Thorne or...
Muggin, drop to the floor. Point that Tommy gun to the ceiling, John Hayward. I've got you covered.
It's got us, Ethel. It's got us.
Drop that gun, John Hayward, or you're dead. Pick up the gun, Muggin. Get it out of the way.
Right, Chief.
Now, John Hayward.
I'm not John Hayward. I'm Arthur Hayward. You got John's body in the morgue.
Is that why you tried to kill me?
I went off my
Listen
head.
Carefully. Here's the evidence that nails you as the murderer.
Evidence?
One, the road map you gave me
shows your fingerprints as those of the ex-convict, John Hayward. They match the prison fingerprints of John Hayward.
Lean on me.
Right. Now, here are 20 bank books in this woman's name who calls herself Ethel Hayward, your wife. They total $500,000.
So what?
Ethel here was actually the murdered man's wife. I think...
I confess. I was his wife, Arthur's wife.
Shut up, Ethel. You're sending us both to the chair.
A confession may make the court lenient, John.
Don't call me John, you fool.
I'm confessing, John.
Keep on, Ethel.
When John went to prison, Inspector Thorne, he left the money with me, and I promised to wait for him.
Yes?
But I got tired waiting for him, so I got a divorce and married Arthur.
And when John got out of prison, you and John murdered your husband, Arthur.
That's the story, Inspector Thorne. John came to our weekend cottage, demanded the $500,000, and he and I murdered Arthur. What else could we do?
I don't know, Ethel. But dumb as I am, that's the way I figured it. The only clue I had was this bottle of hair dye that John, the ex-convict here, used to dye his hair black. To make him look like his brother Arthur.
Oh, I see. That accursed bottle of hair dye caught John and me.
That's all, I guess. I arrest you and John Hayward for first-degree murder.
I'm ready to go. You're not so dumb as you made out.
I am dumb, but I made out. Take him in, Muggin. Next stop, the chair.
And so ends the Vacant Lot murder case. The part of Inspector Thorne is played by Carl Weber. Direction by Kenneth McGregor. The script was written by Edward Francis from the original story by Frank Hummert. And now this is Fred Collins inviting you to tune in again next Friday at this same time when the National Broadcasting Company will present Inspector Thorne in the Golden Girl murder case. It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA. Because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.